Welcome back to LA Confidential. My name is Chauncey Talese, and I'm here with Wes Campbell.
Wes Campbell here.
As always, LA Confidential is brought to you by Sports Adante, the best website for all your LA best sports. Whether you like the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Rams, Chargers, whoever, we have all the best coverage of the players and teams of Los Angeles. Also, we do daily fantasy and pro wrestling. Use the promo code LA Confidential to get 10% off our 3 packages monthly, yearly, and lifetime. So on today's show, we're going to be breaking down the NFL draft. In fact, the first round is ending as we speak. The Seahawks are ready to make one of their first two picks, and then hopefully the Rams trade down. Then we're going to be talking a little bit about the D Ford trade that happened earlier. Or it wasn't D Ford, excuse me. It was Frank Clark.
Yeah.
Sorry, D Ford was traded earlier.
Yeah.
The Frank Clark trade, Big Ben's extension, the Steelers moving up in the draft.
The big name that's on the trade market now.
Oh, yeah. And
Robbie Gould.
Yeah, Robbie Gould. Let's see. Patrick Mahomes getting Madden, and the Chiefs having some other problems to deal with today. Oof. And just some more NFL gossip. Also, we're going to be talking about... We're going to be previewing Avengers Endgame with our top 5 MCU movies. Talking about further drama with the Lakers. Dame Lillard having an awesome playoff game on Wednesday night. I'm going to review Shazam. We're going to talk a little bit about The Flash, the Godzilla trailer, Gemini Man, a couple other things, and then, of course, our weekly Game of Thrones talk. Woo! So anyway, let's start with the draft. What are your impressions so far?
It's been boring for me, just because the Cowboys haven't picked.
But I know.
But rightfully, you know, their first-round pick paid dividends last year with Amari Cooper, so it's interesting to see how, you know, the rest of the competition and the rest of the division is
Your division. I mean, the Eagles traded up with Baltimore for a nice offensive lineman. Good for them. They needed it.
Yeah, I mean,
that was smart,
especially with Jason Peters getting up there in age, and
he's always hurt.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much it's the same situation we have with Tyron Smith, but
Tyron Smith's not old though.
He's 9 years.
It's still not that old. Like, Jason Peters, I feel like, is ancient.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of...
Unless he's, like, torn his Achilles once, and what did he do last year? Did he do it again, or...?
I think it was his pectoral last year, but I think he's done that twice now.
Well, that's not great.
So...
Yeah, so good for the Eagles for getting a guy for the future. The rest of your division, holy mackerel, the Giants.
I love that video that you posted in our group chat, where it shows the live look at MetLife Stadium, where they announced the pick. You gotta love it. And I thought, like, if you're gonna sit there and draft a player, like, I'm sorry, their pick looks like a younger Eli Manning.
Apparently, he only has one read. That's been the scoop on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, they drafted a QB, and it was like the one that was like not good.
Well, yeah, that's why everyone was kind of like, you know, what is going on.
They traded who's the defender they traded? Not Olivier Vernon. They had traded someone else.
Well, they only traded Odell and Vernon.
Oh.
And then they let
Desmond Harris? No.
No, they left Landon Collins walk.
Oh. Well, the defensive lineman they picked up with their Browns pick was just a replacement for some other player they let go. So yeah. That was brilliant. Way to go, David Gettleman.
I feel bad just because, you know, Eli Manning is going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Is he, though? Like, I've heard people like, no. Because
I mean,
there's precedent for a guy with 2 rings to not make it.
It's true, but, like...
It would be Fran Tarkenton, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Is it Fran Tarkenton, or...
Could be. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, you know he's going to get in because, you know, Peyton's getting in. Eli should be getting in just because of his resume.
Maybe, but I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess being top 10 in passing, is it passing yards or passing touchdowns? That kind of helps, but...
I think it's yards?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the 2 Super Bowl MVPs, I mean, he's a borderline, though. Because
yeah.
The rest of his regular season has been really shitty. Like, if he gets to have, like, one... Holy smokes, the Giants just traded back into the first round. All right. David Gettleman is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
I mean, next to Oakland, they've had a really bizarre draft.
Yeah.
And we'll get to Oak Vegas in a second, but let's see. The Giants are gonna pick... Well, they're not going to pick a lot, because they already picked the quarterback. But this really helps the Rams' case to trade down. Because some team's going to be stupid enough to trade up for Drew Lock. Wow, that suits a choice. That is a casino carpet. DeAndre Baker, okay. Well, another corner went. Not bad. But anyway...
I wonder if the... Well, because I know they said they're not in a rebuild mode, but...
Bullshit. I mean, I know they say they're not, but they kind of are.
I mean, they're doing the... What's it? The soft rebuild, or...
Yeah, the soft rebuild.
As he called it. So...
Sure. Sure, gentlemen. Sure.
I'm taking everything he says with a grain of sand.
All right. Or salt. So, it's both.
Rams, traded their pick to the Falcons.
Damn right we did. I knew we were going to be trading down. God bless you, Les Snead. God bless you. I just hope it's a good return. Washington, they drafted Haskins at QB, whose response to being taken at 15 was took long enough, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
I also appreciate that he had a draft party where it's $50 a head. Good job. Then they traded up with the Colts to select. Who they pick?
I was on my way over, so I didn't get to see who they picked.
I know. This has been one of those draft years where like my investment's been kind of low because not even because the Rams are. Oh, they took Montez Sweat. There we go. Right? Was that who they picked? Was it Sweat?
Let's see. I'm pulling it up right now.
I know. It's like I really feel bad that I haven't like been as prepared for the draft, but then again, there isn't a whole lot of stars.
Montez Sweat.
Yeah, Montez Sweat. That's who I kind of wanted the Rams to get.
Yeah, I did like the story that they posted about him, saying that like the doctors misdiagnosed his heart condition like right before the draft. So, good for him to, you know, make it into the first round.
Ooh, what do we get? Did it say what we got?
Hold
on, I'm going to...
Not yet. I don't think they announced it yet.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Schefter broke it, so I'm going to take a look right now. But anyway, Seattle traded one of their picks to the Giants. They took a corner. That's why the Rams traded down. Plus, there was no one that was worth taking, I guess. Oh, they get the number 45th pick and number 79th pick from Atlanta. And then all it cost us is our 31st pick and the 203rd. So, good job. Good job, Rams. I appreciate that. Number 45 is not a bad pick.
No, not at all.
And I knew they wanted a second round pick. They have 2/3 and a 4th, I believe. And it's their 4, 5, and 6.
Well, and, I mean, going for the Cowboys, their recent success at second round picks has been really good. You know, we got Lawrence, Sean Lee, Jalen Smith. So, a lot of good, solid players at that
for us. The first round isn't everything.
No, I mean...
Though I don't know what Atlanta's taking, because they don't need Drew Lock, and I don't think the Patriots are going to take Drew Lock, so apparently if the Patriots don't trade out, he'll be a second rounder. Who saw that coming?
I'd be surprised if New England takes a quarterback, to be completely honest.
Yeah, not this year.
No. I think they're going to wait till at least next year, or till when Brady's 50.
They'll wait till Brady's a White Walker.
Yeah. No, we're talking Thrones later in the episode.
I know. We've got to, you know... Gotta tease it.
Yeah.
In other NFL non-draft news, we'll cover more of the draft in a minute because I really do want to talk about Oakland.
Yeah.
I love you, John Gruden. Big Ben signed a huge contract extension. He's going to be with the Steelers till 2024, and it'll pay him a total of, what was it, $85 million?
I thought it was like 68.
Or 68, but it could be 85.
Yeah.
That's still a lot for a quarterback who I'm still waiting to collapse because it's coming. I know he had it like one of his best years last year, but let's be honest. He's not exactly a pillar of health.
Yeah.
He treats his body more like an amusement park than a temple. So I don't understand... I don't know. I could be wrong. He could age if not gracefully. He'll at least keep being able to chuck it.
And it's all going to depend this year. We'll see how he does with just
Falcons. So Caleb McGarry from Washington. Okay, they needed help up front. They took a guard earlier, so they needed help in the trenches. So good for Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a solid pick. Oakland had
three. They gotta protect that $30 million investment.
Yeah.
A year, sorry, $30 million a year.
Two of them if you count Julio, because...
Oh, yeah.
That's I don't think he's 30 a year yet, but he's still a huge investment.
Yeah.
With Oakland, they used their three picks. They took Farrell at defensive line, which made a lot of people's heads scratch, or itch, I should say. They took Jones at running back, which is another head-scratcher, sure. And then who did they end up selecting with your pick?
I am pulling it up right now. Jonathan Abrams, safety.
All right, that made me mad. I wanted Abrams, but I didn't think that the Rams would be selecting today anyway, so whatever.
Yeah.
Not a biggie. But overall, like, a lot of trades this year. I love it when the drafts have trades. The Steelers moved up.
Yeah, which is surprising.
It's very surprising. It's the first time they've moved up since Polamalu, and they took who?
Devin Bush.
There we go, Devin inside. Bush. They needed an inside linebacker.
Especially with the void that with Shazier gone.
Yep, they really need to rebuild their defense because their offense is going to be a big question mark this year.
Yeah.
Let's see. Green Bay had an interesting draft. They took Rashawn Gary, who is a very slow pass rusher. So sure.
Yeah, I know they said that he's more power than
and
speed.
Darnell Savage at safety, which I don't know a lot about him, but the draft people are very mixed on him at best. Ugh. Oh, here we go. The Giants took Daniel Jones at quarterback. There we go.
Yeah.
The Jets got a steal with Quinnen Williams. Nick Bosa obviously went to the Niners. And as we said earlier, Kyler is a Cardinal. Duh. Now it's just a matter of when and where Josh Rosen's going to be moved. Other picks I liked. I like Josh Allen going to the Jags because they're going to start clearing out some of those expensive defensive players. So good for them.
Yeah, and who would have thought that he would have fallen to the Jags at that point?
I know. That's so, well, then again, Oakland, man.
Yeah.
Oakland could have had him, but nope, they had to get Cleveland Farrell.
Well, because, you know.
I know.
It's Oakland.
Gruden's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, when you send all your scouts home, like, a week before the draft.
I know, it's incredible.
Don't worry about it, we got it.
There we go. Dexter Lawrence is the other defensive tackle the Giants took. I like the Vikings getting a center. They needed it desperately.
Yeah.
The Titans win the award for taking the worst character person in the first round. Jeffrey Simmons. Look, that the people have been touting his 3.0 in school, but, you know, there's tape on him that they showed, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun couple months. The Broncos had two first-round picks this year because they traded. With the Steelers pick, they took Noah Fant from Iowa. I'm sorry, I thought they were going to have two picks. They traded out. Let's see, other notable picks. Hawkinson for the Lions is not a bad pick, although they had bigger needs.
Yeah, I know they're comparing him to Gronk, and that's what they're...
Are they?
Yeah, they're hoping for in Detroit.
They couldn't trade for Gronk last year, so...
Might as well get a younger version now.
If that's the case. The Texans got an offensive lineman, good for them, as we mentioned earlier. The Eagles got one, too. Very good for them. Oh, it's Josh Jacobs, the running back from Alabama. My bad, Raiders. Hollywood Brown, cousin of Antonio, is a Raven. That should be fun.
I wonder if his personality is going to be as big.
Oh, he's a small dude, so I'm sure he'll compensate somehow.
Yeah.
LJ Collier going to the Seahawks made me mad, but what are you going to do? The Pats still haven't made their pick, so... Oh, no, stop it. They're showing Drew Lock. You know the Patriots aren't taking Lock. They're going to trade down because someone's going to want Lock. I don't know.
Let's see, they got 2 minutes and 30 seconds left.
Sure.
Pick, so we'll see.
Anyway, Mahomes is on the cover of Madden, as we've said before, which makes me very sad because I was planning on maybe taking a look at him for fantasy again next year so he can defend his title.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if he can break that Madden curse.
I mean, who let it last year? I don't feel like the curse has been that bad lately.
No, it's definitely lightened over the years and everything.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even remember who was on the cover last year. Or the last couple of years, even. I retired from Madden after high school.
Yeah, I think I stopped at the Vince Young cover.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 2008, baby.
I think the last cover I bought was Larry Fitzgerald. No, the one was, excuse me, Larry Fitzgerald and, was it Polamalu? It was the one where they had the split cover. That's the last year I bought Madden.
Whoops.
Shoot, the Patriots actually are making a pick.
The pick is in. Let's see.
I know. Well, while you look at Madden, I'm very surprised the Pats haven't traded down. That's been Belichick's MO forever.
All right, so...
And the rumor is Clowney is going to be on the move at some point this weekend. I thought it'd be tonight, but I guess not. Some team with a ton of cap space. I thought the Niners would have made a move for him or something. Like one of their picks in the later rounds. But there's still a whole draft weekend to go. But another Chiefs news, audio of Tyreek Hill's was it the 911 call?
No, it was an interview he did with
that's not great.
One of the reporters saying, like, mm-hmm. hey, you should fear me too, and I guess they had asked, like, the daughter, mm-hmm. like, you know, why daddy hit wow. Tyreek or something like that. I gotta read the story, but, like...
Yeah, well, it's not great. Like,
I mean, if this guy doesn't get suspended...
Who can?
Yeah.
Who is at this point?
I call it collusion.
Right?
You suspend Zeke. It was a witch hunt for Zeke.
It's a witch hunt. Well... Look, we still don't know what Kareem Hunt's suspension is going to be, and the Chiefs sent him packing because he didn't bother to tell the team.
No, he suspended 8 games.
Oh, he got 8 games? Yeah. Special? Okay.
Yeah, he got 8 games.
I missed that, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So
last year's Madden cover was Brady, the year before that was Gronk.
Oh, gee, the Madden curse really bit them in the ass.
Yeah.
Oh, Nikhail Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State. Okay, well, the Pats needed a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, right now they have Josh Gordon, who God knows how that's going to go, and Demaryius Thomas.
He
signed his tender. He signed the tender this week.
Yeah, but isn't he suspended?
Yeah, but that's sort of my point.
Yeah.
And Cale Harry, and then Demaryius Thomas's corpse.
Yeah.
Those are the
receivers. Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yeah, still Cordarrelle Patterson, and Super Bowl MVP, and Kmart Wes Welker, what is his name? I'm blanking.
Edelman.
Yeah. Fuck you, Edelman. I hate Julian Edelman.
I hated him too because anytime I tried to start him last year, he sucked. And then when I didn't start him, he went off.
I know.
So,
and
go figure.
Honestly, I hate the fact that the Rams left him wide open a lot in that Super Bowl, but whatever. Anyway, so Tyreek Hill should be suspended because, you know, he... Him and Adrian Peterson could swap parenting stories, that's for sure.
Parents Jesus. Of the year right there.
Jesus. Let's see, what else do we have in NFL news?
We got the Frank Clark trade.
Oh, yeah, which that gave Seattle the Chiefs pick, which they gave to the Giants.
Yeah.
Well, good for Frank, and then Frank Clark got paid!
Yeah, I mean, he's the second highest paid defensive end, or defensive lineman behind...
Dom?
No, behind DeMarcus Lawrence.
Oh, right.
So, he didn't get... I think he got, like, $63 million guaranteed.
That's pretty good. And the Chiefs are definitely win-now mode, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you make it all the way to the championship game. Like, might as well stack your defense up.
Well, because the defense failed them last year. That's where it all went to hell.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had just gotten one goddamn stop, they go to the Super Bowl.
All they had to do was just cover Gronk.
Because they literally ran
the same play, like, back to back to back.
And not commit penalties.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't commit that penalty, then it's fourth down, and who knows.
Exactly.
Then if they just stop them, they win the game. But, oh well, I guess why they traded for Clark.
Yeah, and then they went out and signed the Honey Badger. And
that's right, they did. Also, in extension news, not only did Big Ben get paid, but Justin Tucker got the highest extension for a kicker in history. As well he should, because he's been Baltimore's offense for what feels like 3 years now.
Longer than that.
Well, I'm being charitable.
Yeah.
I mean, now that Hollywood Brown and Lamar are going to be hooking up, and their backfield is Mark Ingram, and who's the other back in their field?
Mark Ingram?
There we go. It was Mark Ingram, but it was someone else.
I don't know.
I could have sworn they signed another back, but I could be wrong.
No, I think they just signed Ingram, and who was their running back last year?
Gus?
Yeah, I think it's Gus Edwards and Ingram.
Well, so maybe by default that offense will be better. I mean, they don't have Flacco, so that helps.
Yeah. We'll see what year two
of Lamar. Oh, full year of Lamar. Full year of Lamar.
Yeah, that's true. Full off season.
Full training camp, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
So yeah, the NFL is probably going to get very dark for the next few weeks, which is fine by us, I guess, because what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, you got the mini camps starting up. Yeah, I mean... It doesn't really pick up until training camp.
Furthering my case, and you can read it right now on sportsadvantage.com, that the draft should be moved earlier, because John Harbaugh's a genius and suggested it at the league meeting.
Yeah.
It should be, because if you move the draft up now, then the rookies are coming into minicamp, and then we can talk about free agency now.
Exactly.
And really schedule now.
And you want to sit there and get as much...
Well, yeah, the NBA figured out
how to... work for the rookies as possible.
Well, and, yeah, which makes the product better, especially for the linemen.
Yeah.
And for the NFL, it's great because that means the league is almost a 365-day-a-year sport like the NBA is.
Exactly.
Like, because the NBA, you have the finals that finish in June, and then a week and a half later, you have your draft, and then free agency is like the week at 4th of July weekend, and then it spills right into summer league.
Yep.
And then training camp.
I think the NFL will get there eventually.
No, well, they're not forward-thinking in the NFL. Like, they really have to be, like, dragged to do stuff. Even simple stuff. But whatever. The first round was pretty solid, I guess. I mean, except for the Raiders and Giants are the only two teams I thought blew it. I mean, the Packers are close because the two players they've selected people are very down on, but whatever.
Yeah, but when you've got three picks in the first round and...
I think you whiffed on two of them at least.
Yeah.
Jonathan Abrams is a good safety.
I mean, we'll kind of wait and see, but... Mm-hmm. On paper, it doesn't look great.
Well, I mean, Mike Mayock left NFL Network to go work for Gruden, so that's working out great.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta love it, but...
I know. And then our final piece of NFL news. Let's pour one out. Chris Johnson is retired. CJ 2000. It's been fun. Yeah. Like, honestly, peak Chris Johnson was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, ran the fastest 40 time at the combine.
He did. Had a 2,000-yard season.
Yeah, early in his career, he was solid, and then...
He saved Jeff Fisher's job. Twice.
I'll just say twice.
He saved it twice. And God bless him, he got him a 13-3 season, which he'd squandered to Baltimore.
Yep.
But, you know, that's... When you think about it, it's pretty amazing. He saved his ass twice. Chris Johnson and Vince Young saved him 1 year, and then Chris Johnson saved him...
Yeah, because that was his 2,000-yard season.
Yeah, and then, you know, like, what happens is running backs don't age well.
Yeah, and, I mean, unfortunately for him, you know, they didn't have really the, like, the protection to really
help him out. They didn't have protection, they didn't have any good receivers.
Yeah.
Like, it was a classic Jeff Fisher team. They just had an incredible running back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that he finally retired, even though...
That's the thing.
Several years since.
I remember him having a cup of coffee with Arizona, but didn't he?
Yeah,
Is that where the end of the line was?
I think he played with Arizona. I think 2 years ago at this point.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I thought he had retired. So. Yeah. Oh well, Chris Johnson, you were fun. You were really fun. I enjoy retirement. I don't think he'll be an analyst. Reggie Bush apparently is. I didn't realize he was going to be the college. Him and Leinart are going to be doing a college show together.
Yeah, Reggie's been on NFL Network for the last couple of years.
Well, isn't, I guess, auditioning for... Because Leinart's on Fox, right?
I think so.
Yeah, they're going to do a college show, and there's a whole thing about, like, is Reggie going to be allowed back on campus? And look, before... I hate SC, but Reggie Bush should be allowed, because they let OJ on the field for years. Post-trial. And all Reggie did was allow his mom to have a house. You know?
That's a lot worse than murdering someone, alright? Well, allegedly.
The juice didn't do it while at school.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what counts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if Pete Carroll's allowed, because I'm sure... But then again, Pete probably knew nothing about that.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. It's not like...
His conscience is clean.
Yeah, right. That's why he conveniently left for Seattle when the wagons are coming.
Yeah.
But leaving nothing but a trail of his crappy assistants to take over.
Can we touch base on some of the suits worn tonight?
You know, as somebody who is a student of NBA history, these suits are fine. Like, if you just do yourself a favor, I think there might be a couple pages. Just Google some of the best NBA draft suits. There are some incredible ones.
Yeah, I know, like, there was a couple tonight that I kind of looked at my TV going, what were these guys thinking?
Some of these weren't great, but, like, honestly, I've seen some bad suits, and these were like, done unironically. These are just, I'm really young and I have money, and, like, remember in, like, Django when he gets to buy his own suit, and he picks, like, the boy outfit?
Oh, yeah.
The pilgrim suit, and it's like, all right, well. And it's like, well, of course it's what he'd buy, because he doesn't know. Like, why would he know anything about, you know, fashion?
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. But these guys, they know what's up. Like, everybody, they all have people that tell them things. Josh Rosen probably does get moved tomorrow, I bet.
Where do you think he goes?
If he goes to New England, it's going to be a very dark pod. I'm going to be very mad.
All right, well, let's kind of, you know... take a couple guesses. Let's do three picks.
All right.
Like three guesses. New England.
Okay, New England. Oh, man. It's hard because like, no one really needs a quarterback, but... Well, the Chargers. There we go. Yeah, Patriots, great. Patriots, Chargers, because you never know when that's going to end. And Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh didn't.
Oh, shit. Never mind. Ben, never mind, because Ben's not going anywhere. He's there till 2024.
Yeah.
So my third pick, I would say...
I'm going to throw a wild card in there and say...
Oakland?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's what I just it popped in my head, too.
Because I don't... Like, if Carr has a mediocre season again, I don't think he's going to make the trip to Vegas.
I don't think Carr is going to start. Going to be a Raider at the start of the season.
Really?
I don't think so. Like if they don't trade for Rosen, yeah. Also there are a couple honorable mentions: Tampa Bay and Tennessee.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, just thinking about that because it doesn't look like Winston and Mariota are long for this world.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Mariota. Mariota's injury history.
Yeah.
And then Winston just being...
Terrible?
Yeah.
I mean, the owner likes him enough to pick up his option, which, by the way, the Rams picked up Goff's option, which, inevitable.
Yeah.
And then...
I know the Cowboys did the same thing with Zeke.
Smartly, they both, you know, both sides have said they're not talking about an extension, and for the Rams, they shouldn't yet.
No, I mean, he got essentially two more years.
One more. Because this is the fifth year, isn't it? Oh, no. Next year's the fifth year.
This
okay.
is the fourth year. Okay. Remember, same draft class as Dak.
That's right.
And this is Dak's rookie, or is that a contract year?
That's right. Okay, yeah. It's Goff's fourth year. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have 2 years to figure that out. So, if Goff is great, cool, extend him. If not, you know, I think the next two drafts, or the draft 2 years from now is going to be loaded, I think. It could be, maybe. We'll see.
Who knows, yeah.
Who knows? If the Raiders do trade for Rosen, where would Derek Carr go?
Ooh.
Like, do they trade him? Like, if it's like, because they wouldn't give him to Arizona, obviously, because they wouldn't need him. They'd have Kyler.
They wouldn't want to release him because that would be just dumb.
I want to say Miami, but they're tanking for Tua.
I want to say, I remember seeing a story, I think, like 2 months ago saying that that's what they wanted to
their
do.
Their owner is openly saying, like, we want Tua.
Yeah.
Which, because it's the Dolphins, they'll inevitably win like 8 games and blow it.
Yeah.
they'll eat up the crappy parts of their schedule. Oh, you know who could take Derek Carr? Or Josh Rosen? The Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
Dalton might not be long for this world either. He could be...
the Red Rifle.
The Red Rifle will be someone's backup quarterback in 2 years. Lock it in.
I was going to say 1 year, or like next year, but... Or 1 year.
I don't know. It depends. Depends what they do this weekend.
That's true.
Because theoretically, they could take Drew Lock tomorrow.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting about the Bengals. But we'll keep an eye out, and I'm sure stuff will break tonight. Maybe.
Like it always does. As soon as we end the show.
It always does. Well, yeah, but the second, third round is tomorrow, and then Saturday's the end of it, so stuff will inevitably break. Like Clowney is probably going to get traded if he does. I still think the Niners are the number one contender because they have the cap space to give him an extension, and they have the draft.
Colts.
No, Texans are going to trade him to the Colts.
Oh, yeah, duh. Same division.
They're not going to do that.
My bad.
Because it's going to haunt us like twice a year.
Yeah.
Cause
you
like,
think about that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's got to be a team with a lot of cap space because you'd think that if you're trading for him, you're going to give him an extension immediately.
Yeah.
It's because he's been tagged and he doesn't want to be tagged.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm thinking Niners because like, I don't think they'd trade him to Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland can at this point because they've burnt through a lot of the... I mean, they still have space, but they've burnt through a lot of it.
Yeah, but...
The Jets, maybe, but I don't see the Texans trading with the Jets.
No, I mean, I could see them...
Like, it's got to be an NFC team.
I would say see them trading out of the division.
Mm-hmm.
Or out of the conference, really.
Yeah, Minnesota can't, because they're right up against it.
Yeah.
The Lions don't... I don't think... They don't have any money or the picks to do it, so... Like, it has to be the Niners.
That would make the most sense in my mind. But you never know.
All right, well, that's going to end the NFL portion because there's nothing else right now. Quickly, I just want to breeze to the other LA news. The Lakers who apparently, in addition to keeping Rod Pelinka for God knows why, I don't know why they just don't fire him. Like, you don't need to make any decisions now. They brought in Kurt Rambis and Linda Rambis to help with the coaching search, because if you know anything about Kurt Rambis' coaching tenure in Minnesota especially, you know that's just awesome. And then Linda is Jeannie Buss's best friend, so that's all. It's even better. They're clearly learning from their mistakes.
Well, yeah, you gotta listen to your friends.
They interviewed Jason Kidd this week because they want me to run through a window.
Well, did Luke Walton get picked up already?
The Kings signed him like a day after he got fired, but now the NBA and the Sacramento Kings are doing a joint investigation on Luke Walton. Yeah.
So is the reporter he allegedly.
Oh, we don't know what happened, but yeah. It's not great. And I'm someone who I really like Luke Walton. He wasn't great as a player, but I liked him.
Yeah.
And I even thought he got a bum rap in LA as a coach, but something happened and the Lakers got out just in time.
Yeah.
I'm hoping nothing happened, because for all parties concerned.
Yeah.
Well, like I hope nothing. I hope
maybe
nothing.
They heard about it and caught wind and they're just like,
know.
Let's cut our losses now.
It was easy to it was an easy choice to fire him, because it's like, well, we had a bad year and he had LeBron. But yeah. Still, I'm really hoping nothing bad happened for anybody.
Yeah.
Moving on, because it's not that kind of show.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we did forget to mention Robbie Gould wants to be traded for the Niners, which I've never heard of a kicker champion for a trade before. That's great.
I would say neither have I.
But Chicago.
If I'm Chicago, because I know that's where he wants to move to.
Well,
because
it's where he had his best years, no?
Well, that and when Chicago released him, his wife and kids stayed in Chicago.
Mm.
And so when he went to go play for the Giants, he moved to New York. And then
I forgot he's a Giant.
Yeah, and then when he went to San Fran, he moved to San Francisco.
Dumb the earth of him. He just seemed like a Chicago guy.
Yeah, I mean, he was, I think, their best kicker
ever.
Yeah,
well, he's one of the best. He's a great kicker.
Yeah, and so if I'm
Chicago,
well,
it's going to cost you a sixth? Like, trade that sixth you got from the Eagles.
Seriously, just make it happen.
So basically, you'd be trading Jordan Howard for Robbie Gould.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Chicago, I'd take that.
So the Lakers are still a mess. The Clippers. God bless the Clippers. I thought they were going to get bounced last night by the Warriors, but they ended up winning again in Oracle, so now it's going to go to Game 6 at Staples tomorrow. That should be fun. The Rockets already finished their series with Utah, and Houston already traveled to Oakland for the third and the second round series, so the Warriors look really, really shaky and really flimsy. I'm very surprised this Clippers series has been so tough. I know you don't watch it, but like the Blazers Thunder game on Wednesday was amazing.
Oh, was it?
Dude, okay, did you not see the Dame Lillard shot?
No.
Okay, it was an awesome buzzer beater. Like they're calling back from 15, and then he takes a shot over Paul George and just goes in, and he just like waves bye-bye to the Thunder. It was awesome. Like, you got to see the whole sequence. It was cool.
I'll look it up once we're.
I promise you, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And like Russell Westbrook gets knocked out of the first round for the third year in a row, which
that's tough.
it gets worse.
Yeah.
Well, like Paul George is like, well, it's a bad shot, so who cares? And it's like, come on, dude. But the Thunder have very little. They can't really do anything to make their team better, so they're thinking they're going to trade Steven Adams, who not only looks like a Dothraki warrior, but is making $25 million next year. And Russ, by the way, is making, I think, 30, and the next 2 years it's like 40, 47, and something else.
Jeez.
I know. The rumors have been like they might think about moving Westbrook, because they just can't do anything with this team.
Yeah.
But good for the Blazers. I really like Dame Lillard. He's, quiet, but he's like, he's a sharpshooter, man. He's the only good Blazer on that court that night, too. He had like 50 points.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. And this, like, I think the second leading scorer on the team had like 17. Yeah, like I thought the Thunder were gonna win it, because like Westbrook kept getting hot at random points, George kept getting hot, but God bless Dame Lillard, man. Like, you gotta see the shot.
Yeah.
Another news: these Nuggets and Spurs are going 7 because Denver just can't have nice things. Like, they got obliterated tonight. I figured, okay, it's a must-win game, you guys, but they're going back to Denver on Saturday. Good for you.
Where's the dad from South Park? What was his name?
Bad Dad.
Yeah, there we go.
Apparently he was at the Broncos draft party. He's definitely not watching the Rockies this year, and Bat Dad is, well, the Avalanche, I think, made it to round 2, didn't they? I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I haven't watched NHL at all this
Well,
year.
I guess the Vegas Knights and the Sharks had an epic 3 overtime game, 7. I know.
I mean, good for the fans for you're getting your money's worth when it goes into
3 overtimes.
That much.
The Sharks won.
Wow.
I know. I was very sad the Boston Bruins moved on and then they won their first second round game.
Well, didn't the Capitals lose too? The
Capitals did lose to Washington in I think 2 overtimes. They got multiple overtimes, so they won 4-3 in Washington.
Wow.
I know. Well, playoff hockey is insane.
Yeah. It's to me, it's always entertaining.
I think random.
You never know what's going to happen.
Because all the division winners went out in the first round.
Yeah.
All of them.
Which is rare.
I know. The Lightning, they had the best record in league history, I think. Or one of the most points in league history.
Yeah, something like that.
And they got bounced in the first round. So, you know, hockey's weird.
Yeah.
Another NBA. So the Celtics are going to play the Milwaukee Bucks. And they're going to get murdered because Giannis is a freaking animal.
Like, well, it's good for...
Like, I know, right? Right? Giannis is awesome. So, good. I want the Celtics to lose in 5. Raptors and Sixers are going to be in round 2. That's going to be fun. I don't even care who wins. let's see. Like I said, the Rockets are going to be playing probably the Warriors, but I don't know anymore. It's getting weird.
I say it just depends on how they finish the game.
And then Blazers await Nuggets, the winner of the Nuggets Spurs, which I'm guessing might be the Spurs now because they just don't trust Denver. In which case, that means Portland will be getting home court again. And if they go to the Western Finals for the first time since 2000, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right, moving on from that because there's no real Dodger news, just more their bullpen is shaky because they don't have one.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to some superhero shit. The wife and I saw Shazam! Last week, and I gotta say, I loved it.
See, that everyone that I talked to that has seen it says it's a fun movie.
It is. You really want to give Shazam a hug, like it's that kind of movie.
Yeah.
Like I really.
I haven't seen it yet, but I want to.
Well, there's some stuff that they do at the end that like it shouldn't work, but it does.
Okay.
It really does. Zachary Levi is tremendous in it. Mark Strong is the bad guy because he's usually always the bad guy and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's great. He's great in it.
Okay.
No, really well cast. The kid from It is good in it too.
Okay.
I really like Shazam, and like it's not perfect. It's you can definitely tell at times that it was more of a low budget movie, but it's still kicking ass.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is their. I mean, one of their more. Like DC's more successful.
Well, they're
movies.
On a run, man.
Yeah.
Well, you have Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and now Shazam.
Yeah.
They're killing it. And the next year they got Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah. Hopefully they can continue on this trend.
Yeah, I really like Shazam though. Like, honestly, like it really makes you smile.
Okay.
At a lot of places.
Yeah, they said it's like I have a buddy at work that says it's just like it's that perfect like.
It's delightful.
I don't want to say like family movie.
It kind of is, although not for little kids, because like the monsters are kind of pushing it.
Yeah.
Like the monsters are like the 7 deadly sins, and like they're really scary. They mess stuff up.
Okay.
Like they kind of push it for a kids movie.
Yeah. But he was just like, you know, it has like that family like vibe to it.
Yeah, it's so. That's very much what it is. It's a family movie.
Yeah.
Also, keep getting them checks. Digimon Hansu, he's the original wizard that gives Shazam his powers. You might know him. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's in Blood Diamond. You know what I'm talking about?
Think so.
The bald guy, like, you know, I'm Star-Lord. Who?
That
guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's...
Well, he's in Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah, because he's this character from Guardians.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Digimon Hansu, one of the most underrated keep getting them checks actors.
Yeah.
No, really, good for him.
Yeah.
He's excellent in it. So if you can see Shazam, please do it. And then also on Saturday night, since we couldn't really go and do anything 2 nights in a row... What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Hashtag
parent life.
I know, right? Well, no, we didn't have the kid this weekend. She was at her grandma's, but I was like, we just wanted to like stay in, I guess. But I found the first 2 Blades on Amazon. Guess what? They're still great.
Heck yeah, they are.
I mean, I forgot Ron Perlman was in Blade 2.
How do you forget that?
I don't know. I was just like, oh shit, that's right. Because it makes sense. Because that's why he and Guillermo del Toro are best friends.
Yeah.
But like watching that, I'm like, oh, I can definitely see Hellboy 1 in this a lot. I can definitely see a lot of Del Toro stuff in this. Okay.
Yeah.
But the first one is amazing. Even though the CG is a little bad, especially towards the end, like the fight with Frost, as cool as it is,
yeah,
The CG's not great.
No, but it's, I anytime I watch like the Blade movie or I see Blade on TV, I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm. The first two are great. I mean, Blade Trinity is great for other reasons.
Yeah.
Whew. But definitely the second.
You're not there to like really. You're not there for like the story or.
You're there for Triple H.
Yeah, Triple H.
Wesley Snipes is basically barely in it, and is apparently not fun to be around on that set as per Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. Well, you got Ryan Reynolds and DeShaville.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds' early run at Deadpool.
Yeah. Because
he's basically doing Deadpool.
Pretty much.
You have Natasha Lyonne's in it for some reason. You have Dracula. There's a lot going on. Blade Trinity's a mess, but Triple H makes it worth it. Oh shit! And Parker Posey's amazing in it. She's great.
Yep.
But yeah, the Blade movies still hold up, man.
Yeah.
Like they don't count for our later Marvel topic, but both of them are like in the top 20 for superhero movies ever made.
Okay.
Because they're not even real super. Like I mean, they are, but they're not.
Yeah.
Let's see, real quick. Clear some space out for you for Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Go ahead. This past Tuesday, the Dragon Ball Super movie Broly came out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a chance to see it in theaters in December, so I was waiting for it to hit digital. That way, I can watch it. And you know, it's I enjoyed the movie. It was just they kind of took what was explained in like the, you know, the previous years movies. Mm-hmm. They kind of just went in a completely different direction, changed the whole, pretty much like the outcome of Broly. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how that affects the main series and Super.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, a lot of good fight sequences. It's a Dragon Ball Z movie. You got to enjoy the, all the different fights, and it was kind of cool to see the origin of like how Frieza became
mm-hmm.
the villain that he is today, and you got to see Planet Vegeta and everything, and you mm-hmm. got to see the parents interact. So it was fun. I enjoyed it. I think it was a good movie.
I'm still surprised you haven't gotten like a good live action version of that. But then again, I guess there's just getting around to doing a live action Pokemon. So maybe that's the next frontier.
They did do a live action Dragon Ball.
No, movie. Like a real one. Like one paid for by like a Hollywood studio.
Yeah, they did do one like a couple years ago, Dragon Ball Evolution or whatever.
I know, but does that count? I don't feel like that was a real movie.
It wasn't a real movie because it was
like
terrible.
Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li is not a real movie.
Yeah.
It's like straight to video. I mean, the Van Damme Street Fighter is real, but that was before people knew you could make video game movies.
Yeah.
Because I guess Detective Pikachu has been at some screenings lately. So I've been getting early word on it. Apparently, it hits all the right notes. Like, it's what you want.
Oh, I know my son's really looking forward to seeing it, so I'll take him to go see it.
Right. But, like, you know, they're just getting around to this stuff, because it's like, well, I guess you can do this now.
Well, I think with all the recent success with the superhero movies, they can sit there and kind of branch off and do
duties. Yeah, but even during the superhero run, they still had, like, a lot of video game movies that just no one knew. We're still in that place. You're still in that place like you were with the early superhero movies where no one really wanted to embrace it. That's like, true. Even, like, in the 2000 X-Men, like, they all had, like, the black spandex suits. They didn't want to go full comic book-y.
Yeah.
Like, they even make jokes about the yellow spandex.
Yeah.
Like, it took a long time before it's like, okay, these can just be, like, we can just embrace the superhero stuff.
Yeah.
And I think you're still there with video game movies.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really made, like, a like a good video game movie.
They haven't.
I think the only one that got, that was kind of close, from what I heard, was Ghost in the Shell. With Scarlett Johansson.
That's not a video game, though. It's an anime. And even then...
Oh, yeah, even then, you're right.
No.
I mean, the only thing I heard about was just the visual effects. That was all I heard about.
Okay, well, that's probably the only thing that's going for it, because...
One, you got my future one.
Well, fine. I'm a ScarJo fan, too, but she had no business doing that movie.
No.
That was a bad idea. It's not worth it.
I think that was in between, like, Marvel movies, so she was like,
I guess. I mean, I'm sorry. She has a Tony. She could probably have just done something else.
Yeah.
But I think that's where you're gonna where the next wave is gonna be. Like, because you're already getting. I think Peele's producing a live action. I think it's Cowboy Bebop. I forget which. It's one of those famous, like, Japanese manga things that your brother would know.
Probably.
I think it's Cowboy Bebop, or it's, shit, I don't know. It's one of those things.
Something that I
forget.
Yeah.
But, like, I think, like, you know, you can get a good Dragon Ball movie. I'm still waiting for a good Mortal Kombat movie. The first two.
I remember the first time I watched Mortal Kombat. It was at the Dubar's house after a soccer game.
Uh-huh. Look, the first one, it's not good. It's really not.
No, it's not.
But it's entertaining. The second one is pretty much unwatchable, but it's still kind of bad entertaining.
It's one of those where you want to see how bad it is.
If you like early 90s house music or Rammstein. Look, I had the soundtracks. Don't get me wrong, I had the soundtracks. A lot of techno.
Yeah.
If you like that.
A lot of techno.
A lot of techno. And look, legendary theme song. I will give it that. And it did kickstart Paul W.S. Anderson's career, and he'd go on to do the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah.
Which I guess you could say is the most successful video game, because there's 7 of them. And goddammit, all 7 made money.
I didn't realize there were 7 of them, but that makes complete sense.
There are 7. I know. They're all successful, I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mortal Kombat, I'm still waiting for a good Mortal Kombat movie, still waiting for a good Mario movie.
Oh, God. I forgot about the Mario movie. And you know what's bad is that...
John Leguizamo's Luigi. How do you forget about that?
Yeah, that's true. My son found... they have the Super Mario... the cartoon show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Where it went from, like, cartoon to, like, live action.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. For how bad that was.
I know.
And he sat there and watched it because he's all into Mario and everything. And
the Sonic cartoon was better.
Yeah.
Both versions of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Quick Flash check-in.
Yeah, this week's Flash, you know, they had the repercussions of Barry returning Nora to the future.
Yep, dumbass Barry.
Yeah.
Iris got mad at him. She tried talking to Thawne, and that, of course, was a bad idea, too.
Yeah, and you're really starting to kind of feel like Thawne's plan coming to light and everything, which we all knew was coming, that he's going to be getting released.
Sure.
And
then you have Grace Cicada out there.
Yeah.
Doing God knows what.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out what she does with, I forget the name of the invention she took, but the super...
The whatever device.
Yeah, the super cold device.
It's okay. It's the whatever device.
Yeah.
It's fine. You know,
but, yeah.
Killer Frost had a good moment this week.
Yeah. I love...
Daniel Panabaker?
Thank you, yeah. I was going to say,
she directed a good episode last week.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And, you know, looking forward into, like, next week's episode, you know, it shows the repercussions of Nora using the negative speed force, so...
Yep, because everyone in the Allen family is just dumb.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just do dumb things.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But the season's got to be winding down. Like, we've got to be close.
I think they're on, like, episode 18, 19, so...
Okay, so 22, so it'll be at least 3 more.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, it was kind of an okay episode. It was kind of a little bit of wheel-turny.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, that's what happens.
I feel like with that, with Flash, and especially Arrow this season, it's just...
A lot of spinning of wheels.
Pretty much.
But that's what happens, like, when you're a 22-episode show. Like,
yeah.
It's hard. Like, that's why they encourage you to do a lot of standalones. Like, that's why, like, if you're, say, ER or something, you can do that, because it's like, well, we can do the serialized storyline, and then you can just do a whole bunch of, like, case of the weeks.
Yeah, and...
Which is what Jessica Jones should have been on Netflix.
Yeah. That was a tough watch.
Well, I know. They had, like, 6 really good episodes, and the other 7 were filler, but that's because they just should have been, like, a detective show, and then you have your other stuff, your Kilgrave storyline.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? So lastly, Avengers Endgame comes out this week. You're seeing it tomorrow. I'm seeing it either Sunday or Tuesday. We'll see.
I cannot wait.
I know. The word on the street is it's really good. It's already made 170 overseas.
Wow.
I know. It's all on the first day.
Well, and I know, was it Rotten Tomato is giving it 96?
I don't care about Rotten Tomatoes. But, you know,
critics are giving it like a 96.
They love it. I know that it said it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's a satisfying end to a lot of things. There's no post-credit sequence, which I'm proud of them for.
I'm.
Because 3 hours is a lot to ask. And then also having to stay to the very end.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
I'll believe it, though.
Mm-mm.
When the lights come on.
It's people that have seen it already. Like, hey, there's no post-credit sequence, and there shouldn't be.
Still trusting my gut.
Oh, my God.
I'll wait.
You're gonna get divorced if I've told you repeatedly that there's not one, there is one. Like,
shh, just don't tell her. It'll be fine.
Okay.
It'll all work out.
Anyway, so, since we obviously haven't seen it yet, because we're not cool enough to get invited to the premiere.
Not yet. We're working our way up.
Anyway, we're going to do a rundown of our top five favorite MCU movies. So that excludes the Raimi Spider-Man movies, Spider-Verse, Blades, the X-Men, etc.
Yeah, this is from
Iron Man to Endgame.
Yeah.
And
you
can go first with your honorable. You each get one honorable mention and then five.
All right. I'm going to start with my honorable mention. Mm-hmm. We're from five to one. My honorable mention is the first Ant-Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I really enjoyed the first Ant-Man.
I was not prepared for Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was... Like, when you introduce a character like Ant-Man,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh, okay, I mean, what's this guy do? He just shrinks?
Sure.
What's the point of that?
Sure,
I thought they did a really good job
mm-hmm.
with this character, with casting...
Rudd?
Paul Rudd and... Just the whole story behind it, I thought was a really good.
Yeah, Michael Douglas is good in it too.
Exactly.
I'm glad Evangeline Lilly got more to do in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
But of course, you know the MVP of Ant-Man.
Yeah. Tom String.
No. Close. No.
I'm going to let you say it.
His best friend.
Yeah, the ant. No, I'm just kidding.
How dare you? No.
I forget his name, but the speed talker, yeah.
I got her old. But yes,
yeah.
he's great in Ant-Man and the Wasp. He's great in the first Ant-Man. I wish he were around more.
Yeah. But yeah, so Ant-Man's my honorable mention. And I feel
why though? Like what? I'm just curious. That's kind of a hot take.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's a great story. It's got its funny moments like some of the other Marvel movies. And
you're thinking of Michael Peña.
There we go. Thank you. And, like, there wasn't really, like... Yeah, there's, like, some, like, slow parts in the movie, but, like, it's... I don't... It's not, like, a slow part that kind of, I don't know, it's just... It's one of those that just... I really enjoy.
Okay.
I can't really explain it.
I am kind of amazed that it worked, because that was like the first and I think really only Marvel production that was kind of messy, because Edgar Wright was supposed to do it. He was like, I think, right about to start, and then they wanted him to, I think the fight was over the scene with Falcon. Like, he didn't want that to be put in there.
But I think that helps.
But he's
that
like,
works
it's,
and everything.
Well, he's like, oh, I don't, like, I, he didn't want to do any, like, service-y stuff. He just wanted to make a straight Ant-Man movie.
Okay.
But he got replaced with Peyton Reed, who he did a great job.
Yeah.
Peyton Reed's a quality comedy director. He did Bring It On and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my honorable,
okay.
my honorable mention.
Okay.
I feel like my number five spot is...
Well, wait, I'll go to my honorable mention, then you go your five, and we'll
okay.
snake draft
okay.
it.
Okay,
my honorable,
I gotcha.
My honorable mention, and I didn't think I was going to put this up there, but I'm like, you know what? I like this movie a lot. Spider-Man Homecoming. I really enjoyed Spider-Man Homecoming. What?
Oh, yeah.
What?
No. I'm not saying as in like, oh, yeah, like Spider-Man Homecoming. I'm like, what's that about? Yeah, man. Go on. I was confusing myself for a second.
You thought I was talking Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
Ah. Well, they both do the one thing really well. And that is, like, I believe that Peter Parker and Miles Morales, respectively, were in high school.
Yeah.
Like, they really, like, because they're, like, their sweetness and their sincerity really comes through.
Yep.
Like, Peter Parker in the beginning of Homecoming, it's just adorable. I mean, he's just on the top of the roof. He just kind of, like, he just wants to join in. And, like, Michael Keaton was awesome as Vulture.
Yeah.
And, like, the twist, and you find out he's the girl's dad. And there's a very uncomfortable car ride. Like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And I really like the Queens, their version of Queens, New York. That was cool.
Yep.
Like, I'm a huge sucker for world building, which plays a lot into my top five.
Okay.
But the world building was great. It was really funny. I really liked Parker and Stark being, like, you know, surrogate family.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just thought it was really well done. Like, I like the Tobey Maguire movies, but they were very wise to make sure he graduated like in the first act of that movie, because there's no way in hell he's going to pass as a high schooler, because he's already like 30.
Yeah, I will say Homecoming.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say Far From Home.
That looks good too, though.
Like with this Spider-Man, I feel like this is the best one that we've had.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
yeah.
I think he's like...
Not counting Spider-Verse, of course, because, you know...
Well, yeah, but, again, like, we're talking live action.
No, I know, but, and he's great.
And MCU movies.
Because, exactly.
Based off your criteria.
Exactly. But, yeah, I really... Like, you believe he's in high school, and that's important, because that's what Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know? They do a great... And, yeah, they do... It's a really well-cast movie.
Yeah. And you got a hot aunt and Aunt May.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing that they just made Aunt May younger.
Yeah, as time has gone on.
Well, and because... Well, Sally Field wasn't even really, like... She was kind of okay in, the Andrew Garfield ones, but even she felt too young to be Aunt May.
Yeah.
And then you get Marissa Tomei, and I just want to slow clap that decision, because...
Hey, I'm not complaining.
I know. But you just, like, in the Maguire ones, it's Rosemary Harris. You're like, that's perfect. She's older. But whatever. I really enjoyed Spider-Verse. That's my honorable mention. Brian's honorable mention. He can't be here today, but his honorable mention was Captain America 1, which almost made my list. It's in my top 10, but didn't quite make my list. I love Captain America 1. It's incredible. Like, it's perfect. Not perfect, but it works. It works as a period piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Joe Johnson directed the hell out of it. He might know him from The Rocketeer, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Jurassic Park 3, a bunch of other stuff. Journeyman guy. But, you know, that they did a lot of well-cast movie.
Yep.
Like, Hugo Weaving as Red Skull is underrated, and I wish he got more to do.
Well, and, again, like, I think it's tough to do, like, that style of movie based off of what we've seen in the MCU.
Well, it was early MCU.
Yeah.
Because they're still trying to figure shit out, because they had Thor that same year.
Exactly. And see, that's what I told Brian.
We'll get there.
Well, no. Like, Brian thought that Thor and Captain America were, like, a year or two apart.
No,
they're like a couple months.
2 months apart. Yeah. Thor was May, and then Captain America was July.
Yeah.
I remember. I saw them both with Justin and Andrew, respectively.
Who?
Not for this fun. with Captain America, it's really well cast. Tommy Lee Jones is great. Haley Atwell, which Agent Carter deserved more love. Like, she deserved... Yeah. Like, her show was good.
I enjoyed watching it.
I know. ABC kind of screwed it.
Yeah. And, just the first Captain America film, it really breaks down, his persona and it really sets him up for the rest of the universe.
Well, Stanley Tucci's great in it, too.
Yeah.
But, no, they really did a good job showing you, the Steve Rogers becoming and earning Captain America.
Exactly.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
It really was really close on my list, but I'm like, eh. All right, what's your number five?
My number five is Infinity War.
Wow, it's Brian's five too.
See,
okay,
that's why we're work wives or work spouse.
Okay,
however that works. I feel like my number five pick might change.
That's recent. It feels like recency bias to me.
No, it's just like when they showed the previews for it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, everyone kind of coming together. You get to see Thanos and everything after the whole 10-year buildup of pretty much their hard work. And, a lot of great fight sequences, like the first one with in the subway with Captain America, Scarlet Witch, and Vision and Black Widow.
Okay.
Oh, and Falcon. Can't forget them.
Nope.
I thought that was great. The Battle for Wakanda, great scene.
No, a lot of good moments. Just for whatever reason, I don't know, I might have to watch it again, and I'm probably gonna.
Oh, I think I've watched it since it's been on Netflix at least twice or three times.
Well, I don't know, it's one of
for me, it's just rewatchable. And...
Okay, no, it's fair. I like Infinity War a lot, and there's a lot of really good, really fun moments.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the team up movies aren't on my list at all, even though I like them a lot. Like the first Avengers is in my top 10. But I'm like, I like other ones better.
Okay.
We'll get there. But Brian also picked Infinity War, which, look, Infinity War was kind of an impossible task. Because they really did mostly a good job of balancing a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's
a great mesh of all the
heroes and everything. Some of the stuff, you're like, all right, like, I don't buy Star-Lord, what Star-Lord does at the end, where he just kind of, you know, screws it up. You know, but whatever. Yeah. Like, I like Infinity War a lot, and it's not my top five.
Okay.
My number five, and I'm cheating a little bit here. Cheating a little bit. Guardians Volumes 1 and 2.
Okay.
I was just going to put 1, but I'm like, I like 2. There's a lot I like in 2 as well.
Okay.
But with the Guardians movies, the same way I felt about Shazam, I just want to give those movies a hug.
Yeah.
Like, I really... James Gunn getting to do a Marvel movie was just ballsy in my part. Because if you've seen Slither or Super, you'd be like, you get it? But it's like, holy shit, James Gunn is directing a Marvel movie? Yeah. Okay. He really was the first director to infuse, like, his own personality into it. Like, especially the soundtrack was carefully curated. The world building was pretty cool. But I really liked, and something I like about Game of Thrones, too, is that it was, like, about cripples, bastards, and broken things. Like they were a bunch of losers, and they come together as a family, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
Really well cast. John C. Reilly, Glenn Close, Peter Serafinowicz is great. The only drag on the first one, and the second one improves on this by adding Kurt Russell, is Ronan was a drag as a villain.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of in that run where the MCU had bad villains. Like, Ant-Man, that's my strike against, is I like Corey Stoll as an actor, but mediocre villain.
Yeah.
Like, really, the mid-run MCU movies have a bad villain problem, for the most part.
Yeah.
But,
I can agree.
You know, Michael Rooker was great as Yondu.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing that Cooper could do what he did as Rocket. Like, that's pretty... No, it's a good vocal performance. And Zoe Saldana is one of the most underrated people in Hollywood, because she's been a ton of... She's 3 Star Trek movies, the Guardian movies, and frickin' Avatar. And her box office record is pretty tight.
Yeah.
You know, she deserves better.
Okay.
But those movies are great, and Pratt, just the beginning with Pratt, just him dancing through the temple, perfect. Like, that's what this movie is.
Yeah.
Those movies are fantastic to me. And the second one, the Marvel movies don't have a lot of color in them, just because of a very gray color palette for whatever reason. Yep. But like Guardians 1 and 2, full of color.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, especially when they're going to.
Oh, and fucking Benicio del Toro is a collector.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck's in it. Like,
good little Easter egg there.
Yep. And with Seth Green as Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
The second one, you get Stallone's in it, which is amazing. Oh, God, like, yeah. The second one's really good. Kurt Russell was great as the planet.
What's his name?
I forget, man.
Ego.
Damn, I knew it was like a 3-letter. Yeah, ego. I mean, holy shit, have I not talked about Batista yet?
Yeah.
Look, as someone who followed Dave Batista's WWE career very, very closely.
Religiously. In fact,
yeah, Brian and I were at his first title victory over Triple H at WrestleMania 21. Batista was never like good on the mic. He was just, that was just never his gig. He was just like the big strong guy.
Yeah.
I could not believe what he was able to do as Drax.
Well, and I think
I didn't see that. No one saw that coming.
I think as his like career's going on, he's only gotten more and more like better as time has gone on.
Although I do find it weird that Inspector, he has 0 lines. It's amazing. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
Like, I know they want him to be like an odd job kind of villain, but I was very surprised Batista had like 2 scenes. I felt cheated.
Yeah.
All right. What's your number 4?
My 4th pick, and this is going completely. Mm-hmm. Against what you just said, in terms of team up movies, is Civil War.
That's one I need to watch again. I like Civil War a lot.
Okay,
that's probably my 10th.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I like Civil War just because I love the storyline in the comics.
Okay,
you know, it breaks it down as, you know, they after all being in the movie, they're in. What country are they in? Anyway, they're chasing down Crossbones and everything. Crossbones goes to set off a bomb. Scarlet Witch sends him up in the air.
Yep.
And explodes next to a building. Causes a bunch of
And they become Team America.
Yeah.
They do.
Pretty much.
Bonjour, everyone. Everything is bomb.
But, you know, they sit there and they draft the Sokovia Accords. And it's a little different from the comics in terms of...
Well, fine.
But pretty much the same meaning. Like, Tony Stark, Iron Man is for the act, and Steve Rogers' Captain America is against it because it's taken away the free rights and of America, or of these Americans. So, you know, it kind of sets it up, kind of builds up, and then that airport battle scene is just great.
That is great.
You got Giant Man showing up.
Yeah, no, that one's fun. Don't get me wrong. Like, Civil War is good.
You get the first intro of Spider-Man.
And Black Panther.
Oh, and Black Panther. Yeah,
that's true. Dies.
Yep.
Daniel Brühl was a cool villain.
Yeah.
Like, he was a neat villain.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a little disappointed that we didn't get to really see more of him.
I know.
But the amount that he is in the movie, I think, works perfectly. Because he's that one that's behind the scenes, kind of like pulling the strings and making sure that, you know, this end fight scene at the end with Bucky, Cap, and Tony happens.
And that was good, though. The riff between Tony and Cap was great. Like, it made perfect sense. Like, it didn't...
Because, again, it's been building up since...
Since
the first Avengers movie, really, if you want to date that far back.
Yeah, you can. And I also did appreciate in that one, that Daniel Brühl's villain was, you know, because of what they did in Ultron.
Yeah.
And Civil War was kind of commenting on where they're going. It's like, well, you're just blowing shit up. Like, you're just... Like, you're Team America.
Yeah.
Like, you're causing more... And that's a lot of movies... Like, that's where X-Men Apocalypse fell, because, like, it was just too late.
Yeah.
It was already like, we're already over, like, you just destroy, like, wiping out the world. It's fine. Like, we're over it.
Yeah.
Alright. So. And then Brian's number four, and he'll defend this next week, because I'm just baffled. Thor. The first one. And if he picked the second one, I just would have kicked him off the show, but... Thor 1, it's fine.
I thought you picked that one higher up, but...
No, you picked it at number four. Okay. It's fine. Like, it's fine. It's okay.
He explained it to me today at
work. What did he say?
That they could have gone in a different direction than it did. Storyline's great. But we'll let him defend it next week.
It's fine.
I don't want to take his thunder.
Like, I like... nice. I see what you did there.
Yep.
No, like, Thor 1's okay, but, like, you know, it's no a later pick on my list.
Yeah.
But my number four, and I'm going to get yelled at for this one, Black Panther... Here's why.
All right.
I'm a huge fan of world building. And I really appreciated Wakanda. Like, that was really cool what they built.
Yeah.
And I really, like, the Oakland stuff was cool. Like, it was a bigger scope than most Marvel movies have. Not anymore. Actually, most Marvel movies have.
Yeah.
Great cast, top to bottom.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's a really good movie. Like, very, very, they do a really good job blending, like, the African mythology into the MCU.
Yeah. You know what I'm surprised about, though, about this pick? Is that there's still room on the bandwagon for you to jump on.
Oh, please. Not even a bandwagon pick. I've seen it twice. It's good.
I know. I just kind of razz you a little bit.
I know. It's fine.
Yeah.
I thought Ryan Coogler did a really good job. Some of the fight scenes leave a little bit to be desired. And, like, that's a Marvel problem in general.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's too computer smashy.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a bad movie. I'm just...
Fair. I really appreciate world building.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for that. That's why I told you, like, Homecoming as well, because they build a really interesting world of Queens.
Yep.
Like, I want to go back to these places.
Yeah.
Like, they do a better job building that world than, like, Asgard.
Yeah.
They really do.
I feel like they, like, in terms of, like, the Thor movies, they should have really kind of dived farther into that. And I mean, they kind of
the first one, they're kind of, you can kind of see they were really a little afraid, too.
Yeah.
They're still in the area where, like, because...
You can kind of see, like, in the second one, they did a little bit, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be this big, magical place. You know,
right, and you don't really get a lot of the magic.
Exactly.
They even downplay it. It's like, nah, what you call magic, we call science.
Exactly.
Like, they're still kind of, like, they still don't want to go full. Like, because remember, there was a time where, like, Doctor Strange and the Guardians seemed like weird picks.
Yeah.
Like, no, the audiences won't buy any of that.
Exactly.
And yet, now they do.
Yeah.
All right, what's your three?
My third pick. We're going to go back to where it all started and go with Iron Man.
That's Brian's three, and that's my two.
Wow.
I know. Well,
for the record, Brian and I did not make our list at the same time.
That's really funny. No, the first Iron Man is almost a miracle when you find out just how much could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
Like, Cruz is supposed to be Stark, but Favreau fought for Downey. No one would insure Downey at the time. They were really worried about it.
Yeah, because this is...
His
second stink in rehab.
But he had the really awesome 05 where he had Good Night and Good Luck, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang,
yep.
A couple other things. And so he had Zodiac in 07. He was like building a resume again.
Yeah.
But Favreau still had to fight for him. It was still, Marvel was, it was still when Marvel didn't have a studio yet.
Yeah, they were still...
It was still a Paramount movie. Paramount had Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man, and gave them all to Disney because they're stupid.
Yeah.
And now they're probably going to get bought by, I don't know, Netflix or Amazon or something. It's coming. But it's kind of a miracle that it works because, like, they were kind of making... kind of rewriting a lot of it as they went.
Yeah.
It's shot on film, which is hard to believe, and it's also not shot in Atlanta because they didn't have Marvel Studios yet.
Yeah.
So it distinctively looked like L.A.
Yep.
The cast is like kind of dumb good when you think about it.
Yeah.
It Downey, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Terrence Howard before he assholed himself off the MCU, yeah, the MCU verse, but got replaced with Cheadle, which was smart.
Yeah.
Like it's a miracle.
I thought Terrence Howard, like when seeing Iron Man, Terrence Howard, I thought did a really good job of Rhodey.
No, I like Terrence Howard.
I was looking forward to seeing him in the second one. And then when they announced the change, I'm like, I don't really.
It's because Terrence Howard's a weird dude.
Well, yeah, but like he's when they announced Cheadle, I'm like, really, they're going to change it to him? And then now I'm like, I'm glad they did.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think Cheadle is.
Great. He's a great Rhodey.
Great actor. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, another reason why this is in my top five, and this has nothing to do with the movie. When we went and saw the movie...
That's right, you were there for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course I was there for it. That's why I remember it.
Yeah.
You know, end credit scene rolls, you know, lights come on and everything, and we're seeing it with Brian, and he was dating this girl at the time, Becca.
Don't say it. You know you want to say it, don't say it. Go on. We're not doing it.
Okay. And so... You know, after a long movie and everything, everyone gets up, they stretch.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. One of my favorite Brian Dubar lines is he gets up and
unironically, by the way, unironically, the stretches, oh, my abs hurt.
Exactly. Which, I don't know what was funnier, the movie or this line.
So, I don't know, but Iron Man 1's pretty funny, and, you know, and again, we didn't stay for the end credits because we didn't know you had to. We didn't stay for the end credits because
that's right.
Because I remember a week later,
we had to watch it. I think on YouTube at the point.
Well, we watched it on YouTube, but then like a week after that, I went to go see Speed Racer. My parents went to go see Iron Man, and then my movie ended sooner.
Yeah.
And I just stayed for the end credits because I'm like, okay, here it is with Sam Jackson, which was a flex.
Yeah.
Because there's no way they knew it was going to be a hit. Nobody, because everyone's like, who the hell knows what Iron Man is?
Exactly.
Nobody.
What's an Iron Man?
Exactly. And it'll go like, oh, yeah, the Avengers Initiative. And it's like, what? They're really going to... No.
There's no way this is happening.
It's just too bad the subsequent Iron Mans didn't live up to it.
Yeah.
But really, and it started it all. Like, who the hell knew?
Yeah.
Like,
built this great universe for 10 plus years.
10 plus years. 2008 was a huge year for superhero movies. You had Iron Man in May, Dark Knight in July, and Hellboy 2 in July.
Yep.
Which, poor Hellboy 2. Had to come out a week before our Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Oof. Anyway, my number 3 is Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
First of all, it's the best Thor movie by a mile.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
It's the... I can
agree with that.
Because Taika Waititi, who did What We Do in the Shadows and Hunt for the Wilder People, another bizarre pick, but it's perfect.
Yeah. Great soundtrack.
Well, a great soundtrack. He unlocked funny Chris Hemsworth. Like, Chris Hemsworth's funny. And people, you know, a lot of movies forget that because he doesn't look like he should be.
Yeah.
But they unlocked them as a comedic actor. Him and Loki are great together. Ruffalo is amazing as Hulk.
Yeah.
Again, great cast. I mean, Jeff fucking Goldblum. Like, Jeff fucking Goldblum.
Who can go wrong with that?
Jeff, he's great. He knows exactly what movie he's in, and he dials up to 11, and it's great. Cate Blanchett's awesome. That was a huge steal for Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, damn, Cate Blanchett. It's just a lot of fun, and it's just a joke movie. It's a really fun road trip movie, and it's just hilarious. I love Thor Ragnarok so much.
That, and I love, again, going back to the comments, I love the Planet Hulk.
Planet Hulk was cool.
Part in there, so...
But and then him and Strange are fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of... Like, I like Doctor Strange fine, but, like, that was the best use of him.
Yeah.
Like, him and Thor together were great. Just a lot of good jokes. You can just tell that everyone had a good time.
Yeah.
In fact, they all said. Like, Chris Hemsworth was like, I didn't want to do another Thor movie, but then I did this, and I'm back.
Yeah.
Because Thor 2 just sounded like a miserable shoot.
You can tell just by
the movie. You can see it on screen. It was a miserable shoot.
Yeah.
And good for Anthony Hopkins for getting one last check as Odin.
Yeah.
I appreciate keep getting them checks, Anthony Hopkins.
Sir Anthony
Hopkins. Sir Anthony Hopkins. That Malibu Ranch isn't going to pay for itself.
if it's still there.
No, it is. It's, it survived the fire. God bless it.
Yeah.
So what's your number two?
My number two is the first team up with Avengers.
Okay.
I mean,
it shouldn't work, but it does.
It's just, it doesn't take, like, it's a rewatchable movie. My first pick is the one that I always...
That's Brian's number one, by the way, is Marvel's Avengers, is the first Avengers.
Okay. Well, my first, well, with my first pick,
mm-hmm.
whenever it's on TV, I watch it.
Okay.
With Avengers, I'll do the same thing, but, like, I always wait till the
We'll get there. You keep going about Avengers, so we can just...
So, I mean, you get all the characters meshing for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting all the personalities kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how it's going to work, and if this initiative is really what Nick Fury...
Yeah, Whedon blended it really well.
Yeah, I will say, like, he did... Like, this was... I don't want to say his masterpiece.
No.
Because...
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is his masterpiece.
Yeah, but...
The show, not the movie.
Yeah, but... You know, just a great, great story. I mean, you had to have the sad part with Coulson dying, but...
Well, he comes back on the show, apparently. That nobody but you watch it. No, you and my dad are the only two that watch it. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I haven't finished the last season.
I'm amazed that's still on.
Yeah.
That's like the biggest fail in the MCU. Because, like, oh, well, we're going to fill in the gaps, and no one cared because the rest of your characters suck.
Yeah, I mean, the first, like, two seasons were good, but then it kind of fell off after that. But we're not talking about that.
Sorry.
But, yeah, a lot of great fight scenes.
Well, Thor and Hulk is great. That relationship's fun. They plant the seeds, and it pays off in Ragnarok.
Yep. And it sets up, you know, Civil War. It sets up that divide between Tony and Cap. Let's see what else. I thought you didn't really get a whole lot of Hawkeye in.
No, that was a problem. They make him zombie Hawkeye, and Renner was upset about that.
Yeah, but, you know, he redeems himself, and he's been a good character for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Black Widow.
That's Brian's number one, and Brian's number two is my number one, so I'm just going to talk about it now.
Yeah,
Winter Soldier.
That's my number one.
Mm-hmm. Wow, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I watched it last night, actually, because I was like, I wasn't sure.
But see, like, with Winter Soldier, like, that's just one of the movies, like, I will watch start to finish every time.
No, yeah, it's really good.
I think the best fight scene that they've had in the MCU, and I'm not biased whatsoever, but is that elevator scene.
Yep.
In S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, the hand-to-hand combat stuff, like, when they do all the Jason Bourne-style fight scenes are great.
Yeah. Because
it's different.
Yeah.
And you don't really even need to see
this. Plus, this is the first installment for the Russo brothers.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, good for them. They went from directing Community and Arrested Development to, you know, now having several huge, gigantic movies.
Yep.
But with that one, you don't even need to have seen Avengers, because it works as a perfect sequel to the first Captain America.
Yep.
You know, because the Hydra stuff, like when that reveal when they're in the bunker and it's
it's
Toby Jones, you're like, oh shit, okay. Yeah. And a lot of really cool ideas about, you know, about how you can have parasites in an institution.
Yep.
Robert Redford was a flex on Marvel's part for getting fucking Robert Redford.
Yeah, and he did great for
he was great.
For being like the the main.
He bought into it, which, you know,
good for him.
That could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
You could have had Nick Nolte and Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, he's great. A lot of good Sam Jackson stuff.
Yep.
Anthony Mackie's good.
Yeah, great introduction to the Falcon. That elevator scene just.
Mm-hmm.
Just blew me away when I first saw it. And I'll sit there and just watch it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's so good.
Oh, yeah, Chris Evans is really great in it.
Yeah.
I do appreciate, I know it's kind of bullshit, but, like, I do appreciate that they were at least trying to make it, like, with those 70s paranoid thriller movies, like, 3 Days of the Condor, Parallax View, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, paranoid government thrillers. I mean, you know, that's what they're aiming for, but it's still a Marvel movie.
Yeah, and, I mean, towards the end, you get the Doctor Strange nod.
Yep.
And,
also, fucking Gary Shandling is back from Iron Man 2 as a senator, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Of course, he's in Hydra.
Yeah, of course it is.
But it's really well done, and it's the best one because it balances the character and humor really well.
Yep.
There isn't really any fan servicey stuff, and it's really unique.
Yeah,
Because even when it gets to the end, it's still, when Bucky and Cap are fighting, it's still hand-to-hand. They don't get into, like, super CGI smashy-smashy.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, especially with, like, right towards the end where he's pulling Bucky out of his mind-controlled state. So.
Yep. No, so that's our top five.
Yeah.
So Brian will be on next week to defend Thor, and I'm sure we'll be talking about Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
Because at least two of us will have seen it. And Brian will be like, well, I looked up all the spoilers online, so who cares?
Yeah.
Because we get it, you're cool. You don't need to be surprised by anything. All right. That's the end of superhero shit. Real quick, just because we have some thrones to get to. Real quick, got the Godzilla King of the Monsters release their final trailer. They already had my money.
Yeah.
Moving on. They already had my money. Now they have more of it. Will Smith's Gemini Man, which... is an Ang Lee movie, so it might be interesting, or it could just be a beautiful disaster.
Yeah, I have no interest in seeing this one.
Me neither. I'm kind of out. I like Ang Lee, but, you know, whatever. He's got 3 Oscars, it's fine.
Yeah.
Will Smith is just really looking for, really wanting it to be the late 90s again. He just can't find it. He just can't find anything that works. Even when he tries to do the right thing, he always picks the wrong version of the wrong version of what he would have done before.
Yeah.
Let's see, Leo's doing, might be in Guillermo del Toro's, next movie, Nightmare Alley, which is cool. I've heard it's a really good book.
Okay. Like,
yeah. It's a really cool story, it's like a detective, and he, takes a psychologist along to solve a murder, and she ends up turning the tables on him. Guillermo del Toro, like, Leo only wants to work with, like, top-end directors, so if he wants to do a del Toro movie, I'm in.
Yeah.
He doesn't work very much, so it's great. Ben Affleck's next directing gig, he's doing, I forget. Man, it's a World War II movie. It's kind of like Argo, but it's like he's part of a unit where they're trying to convince the Germans of battles that didn't happen. It's like okay. they create like fake battles. It's a true story.
Okay.
Like to throw them off the scent.
Oh, I'll have to look into that.
Interesting choice by him.
Yeah.
Let's see. They had the cast of James Bond announced today. Rami Malek's the bad guy.
Which didn't? That was the big rumor.
Yeah.
Like right after Bohemian,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, well, you know, he already has an Emmy, he already has an Oscar, now he can start getting checks. It's fine. Good for him.
Yeah.
Let's see, and what's good, the usual shows, nothing new.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in the office.
How far are you?
I'm on season 4 now.
Ooh.
The episode I just finished up was Jan trying to sue Dunder Mifflin for the wrongful
termination. Wait, have you gotten to the dinner party one yet?
I think that's the the next episode that's coming on, because I started one today.
That's a top 3 Office for me.
Okay.
That's so goddamn funny.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite Michael Scott lines in it, too.
Okay.
I'm going to be watching that tomorrow. For you, because it's amazing.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
Like, holy mackerel, is the dinner party great. All right. Let's see, do I have anything else that's good? I mean, Brockmeyer was amazing last week. I forgot to plug Brockmeyer. Friggin' love Brockmeyer. You need to watch it.
Yeah, well, just add it to the list.
I know, man. Anyway, all right, so that's what's good. Finally, we're going to end with Thrones.
Ugh. Such a good episode last week.
I know. I know. A lot of people on the internet were like, ooh, it's like, oh, it's nothing but fan service. No one cares. Like, no, they're setting up a lot. They're closing a lot of arcs.
Yeah, and pretty much setting up the
for this week's episode. This week's going to be brutal and sad.
Yeah, I'm...
But we'll talk about that next week.
It's gonna be a tough weekend.
A lot of
with Endgame and
a lot of people are gonna die. A lot of people are gonna die.
Yeah.
A lot of fictional people we've come to love.
Yeah.
But this episode had a lot of good stuff. I mean, they for one thing, John told Danny at like the worst possible time that, oh, by the way, I'm Aegon Targaryen, the son of Aegon Targaryen.
Yeah.
And of course she's not okay with it.
Well, and kinda like what we talked about last week, where we both think that she's gonna turn into Daenerys is going to turn into her father and turn into that Mad King.
She's already her dad.
Just, I know.
She'll have a bigger platform to do it, probably.
Exactly. You're starting to really see that,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming to life.
I mean, she almost dug out of it because like, she and Sansa had a good moment, but then like Sansa had to go, well, what about afterwards? And what about the North? And Danny's like, no. Like, don't say it.
Don't. We're not starting this right now.
I know, right? a lot of good moments, like Jamie in the beginning was great.
Yeah, Jamie and Bran.
Well,
I was cracking up at that.
Well, Bran won the episode for me in a lot of ways. Like, her and Jamie's relationship is, like, one of the best in the show.
Yeah.
Like, they both, what?
I'm also thinking of, I forget his name, but the...
Tormund?
Yeah, the Wild.
We'll get the Tormund.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get the Tormund.
Yeah.
He was great off the bench.
Yeah.
No, but the Jaime-Brienne relationship has been one of the best things the show's done, and they both brought out the best in each other.
Yep.
And, like, her vouching for him was a huge deal, because she's always quiet whenever there's people more powerful than her.
Yeah.
And for Sansa to immediately go, okay... If you vouch for him, I'm in.
Yeah.
And, like, Danny's alone, like, what the fuck's going on here? Like, like, Bran's totally cool with it. Like, Jaime apologizes to him, and Bran's like, I'm over it. None of this matters. And if you were to die, like, it wouldn't help us.
Yeah.
Which is the most human Bran has kind of been for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then just the scene at the end where Jaime knights Bran was incredible.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
It was, like, it was perfect.
And you hit it right in the feels.
Well, yeah, because that's what she downed his nut. Everyone to be a knight, and... It's like, yeah. Well, why can't she be a knight? Oh, well, women can't be knights. And everyone's like, oh, fuck that.
Yeah. It's the end of the world.
And just, just the, the Sir Brienne of Tarth, like, when Jaime's doing the oath, I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, that was a feels moment.
Yep.
For everyone to be, and Podrick was totally happy for her.
Yeah, and, again, like, setting up for this episode, you're really kind of
see the characters. I know, I'm like, fuck, Bran's gonna die. She got what she wanted, and she's gonna die. Because there's nowhere else for her to go. She's commanding the left flank.
Yeah.
Jaime, and by the way, Jaime asking to serve under her is a huge deal.
Yep.
Because he doesn't want to serve with anybody, even if he hated serving his dad.
Yep.
So that was amazing.
Yeah, and, for him to sit there and go off the bat, like, I'm not the fighter that I once was, but mm-hmm. I'd be honored to fight under your leadership, so...
Mm-hmm. Another episode where Tyrion just gets dunked on. Well, him and Jon Snow. Like, Dany just has a short joke out of nowhere.
Yep.
Which, wow.
Yeah.
But Tyrion, like, they're, Jorah has to defend him, and Jorah's like, I don't even like the guy, but he's, like, the best person for this gig.
Yep.
And they of course, have him stay in the crypts, because there's no place safer in Winterfell than the crypts. Yeah. As they repeatedly mention 1,000 times, which means, guess what, they're not safe. Like, Arya's gonna be down there. That poor little girl was reminding Davos and Gilly of Shireen is stuck down there.
Yeah.
Which, it's not gonna end well for a lot of people. Varys is gonna be down in the crypts.
I'm trying to think.
Missandei and Grey Worm, that's gonna end well, because they're going, well, after this is over, we're gonna retire to the beach.
Yeah.
On our boat called the Live Forever. they're gone.
Yeah.
Because whenever anybody talks about, well, I'm going to retire next week, they're going to die. Jorah getting Sam's Valyrian steel sword was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also, Jorah getting, getting that nice moment with his cousin Lyanna Mormont. There we go. Where she's like, fuck you, I'm fighting. Like, I'm
oh,
like,
yeah,
stay,
yeah,
you're staying in the crypts. Yeah. Come on, Lyanna frickin' Mormont.
I'm going to fight. No, you're not.
You're gonna say you're the future of this house. Yes, I know. We know why, because Jorah is technically not allowed to be in that house.
Yep.
But that's still good for our good fortune to you, cousin.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's back in the house. He gets a Valyrian steel sword because Sam's like, I can't wield this thing.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do? It's better in your hands.
Yeah.
Well, what else?
The end scene with Arya.
Yeah, man. Well, in the beginning, you knew she was...
You knew she was kind of tiptoeing around that.
Well, and look, she would have jumped him immediately.
Yeah.
But good for Arya.
Yeah.
Like, she gets to have a human moment, which scares me, because I mean, it's like, oh, fuck, she's probably going to die. Like, I don't want her to die.
It's just all the, like... Last week's episode was, like, that feel-good, like, the calm before the storm. Like, you see everyone
this
having
this
good...
This makes us a definite... Like, the first episode is, all right, we're all back together. The second one's, like, we're all going to have one last night before things go to hell.
Exactly. So, like, I'm looking forward to it, because obviously it's a Game of Thrones episode,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not looking forward to
I know.
Cause I'm like, the negative effects. Because
I can just see who, like, I'm like, oh no, Davos is probably not going to make it out of here.
Yeah.
Like, just all them in the room, like, just like, you have Tormund, Brienne, Pod, Jaime, and did I say Tyrion already?
No, but Tyrion.
Oh, Tyrion. Yeah. Just all of them in a room, that's a really fun pair. Just
yeah.
Tormund's story about why they call him the Giant's Bane is incredible.
Yeah.
And just just Tormund in general. So, is the big woman still here?
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to come in here because it's warm. And
mm-hmm.
No, don't worry, I brought my own. He's drinking out of the horn.
Yep, Davos, like, oh, this isn't my normal fighting routine. I usually walk all the way up to camp so no one can see me shit my brains out.
Yeah.
Like, it was nice. Like, I'm really, like, Jaime and Tyrion had a lot of fun moments together where they both go over how Tyrion wants to die.
And you know what? It's, I think it's...
And Tyrion calling him out, like, you knew what Cersei was.
Yeah.
That was good.
Those two brothers, like, interacting and everything is just, I've always enjoyed that part of that family.
Well, because Jaime's the only one who's liked him.
Yeah.
The only one.
Yeah. Literally the only one in that family.
Uh-huh. And let's see, I did like Danny like giving Tyrion another shot. It's like, well, he learned from his mistakes, which I don't know if he has yet, but him talking to Bran, I think, is going to pay off.
Yep.
That was like the smartest thing, is like, he just wanted to pick his brain.
Yeah.
And even Arya with Gendry sizing up, like, well, what do they like, and trying to find out about, because I'm pretty sure she's going to pull some kind of faceless man shit.
Probably.
I don't know if it'll work.
I know, like, some people have said, like, oh, maybe we'll see her dress up as the as a White Walker. And
maybe
everything.
I've heard that theory.
So,
let's see. Oh well, Theon seems like he's gonna die. He's like, I'm gonna guard Bran at the Weyrewood tree.
Oh yeah, I think he's gonna be the first one dead.
Although, look, Sansa lighting up when she saw him was kind of amazing, because like, I've wanted Theon dead for like 5 seasons now. Yeah. But they've done a kind of an okay job redeeming him, because like, you know, he's gonna die.
Yeah.
But so at least he, and again, Danny's like, why are you hugging him? Like, Danny's always left out of anyone having
out of the loop and everything.
Uh-huh. Because no one except for Jorah likes her.
Yeah.
And Grey Worm too. But even he's like, look, once we're done, we can just leave.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I did like the why can't I think of her name? Plays Sansa.
Sophie Turner?
There we go. I guess she had I think it was on Instagram or on Twitter or whatever. She posted the story because, you know, obviously last week's episode aired on Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And she sits there and goes, oh, what'd you guys think of last episode? And Arya hopping, like, hopping that Netflixe. And it's a great, like, look it up. It's
but
like
that was a great scene because, you know, she's like, kind of grilling about Melisandre.
Yeah.
Which, like, he's like, come on, man. Like, it's not my fault. But then, like, he sees her scars, and he's like, oh, she's definitely lived the life that I haven't known. And even she kind of teased that when she's throwing the dragon glass and just hitting that post.
Yeah.
But, you know, she like, one of the few female characters who has, like, her own agency with that kind of thing, because, you know, the women on Game of Thrones are exposed to a lot of horrible shit.
Yep.
And she just took it by the horns. She just wanted one last human moment before her shit has to go down.
Yeah.
And good for her. I'm sure Gendry's going to sleep through the alarm.
Probably.
Arya was awake, but Gendry gone.
Yeah. I gotta go make more weapons.
Exactly, yeah. They have a lot of dragon glass.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's enough, but I'm pretty sure the crypts will be a problem. Yeah. I'm trying to think. There's like one or two other things I wanted to bring up. Bran revealing the Night King wants to kill me because I'm the memory of everyone.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. Well, all right.
Okay, so, yeah, I guess... relaying, I guess, is the Night King's true, like, purpose for this war.
Yeah, which is kind of a letdown. He's like, oh, that's all you want to do is just wipe out the memory of humanity, but okay, we'll see. I kind of heard a rumor because Jaime brings up the battle he lost against Rob, where Rob had, like, split the army so that, like, while Jaime was at one place, another army went elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the Night King will do that with Cersei. Like, it'll split, like, half will go to Winterfell, the other half will go to King's Landing. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And next week's episode is an hour and a half long. It's a feature-length episode.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you'll get some Cersei. But they did bill it as, like, the biggest battle since Helm's Deep. Like, that was their inspiration, so...
Okay.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm really sad. I'm sure Ghost is gonna die.
Ugh.
I know.
I love those,
The direwolves?
The direwolves,
I know. Crap. But I just know it's coming. Because they almost can't help themselves in killing direwolves.
Yeah. Because there's only, what, like, two left?
It's Ghost and... Let's see. No, I think Ghost is the last one.
I want to think that, like, either...
Actually, I think Sansa is the one that she released into the wild is kind of lurking, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know where it went, but maybe Ghost is the only one I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Bran will draw Warg Ghost, and that's probably how he'll die.
Probably.
Rest in peace, Ghost. Are you not looking forward to it?
I don't know.
Oh, crap. I don't know, but the thing is, like, after that, I don't know what they do for 4, 5, and 6. Like, I don't know, like, that's kind of the cool thing, like, they're doing it now, and, you know...
Well, I mean, depending on how the war goes, like, do they sit there and...
That's true.
Go and take the fight to Cersei?
Well, but then that'd be kind of weird because, like, the Night King's been the big bad since the pilot.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're going to end with Cersei. I don't know. I just think there's, like, more coming.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, like, who makes it out and why? Yara's still out there, so I'm sure she'll come back for, like, 4, 5, and 6. Because yeah. She's taking over the Iron Islands.
Yep.
They need Pike.
Yep.
Other than that, like, well, I mean, just John and Danny, it's an interesting thing. Because I guess that song Podrick sang at the end.
Yeah.
I've heard people talk about it. I guess it's kind of foreshadows what might happen with them. Because there's, like, a doomed relationship because I guess they try to raise dragon eggs and it doesn't work. I don't know.
Huh?
I had a whole explanation with that, but I forgot it. But it's, like, Jenny, the song, like, Jenny and something else.
Okay. Oh, Jenny the Block?
No. Not that Jenny.
Oh, okay.
No, not the Jenny that's engaged to A-Rod.
Yeah.
But yeah, great episode. I know a lot of people are like, we'll get to the, or like Milhouse with Poochie. It's like, get to the firework factory already. But I get why they did it.
No,
because they're just going to unleash everything.
Exactly. And, you know, all hell's going to break loose. And, you know, they obviously don't want, they know that the series is going to end, but they don't want to end it like,
negatively, and some positives. Brian Cogman, the guy that wrote it, even said on like the little feature that plays after the Game of Thrones, like, I wrote this as a love letter to the characters, and it shows.
Yeah.
And the sea basses of the world can fuck off. It wasn't cheap fan service. Whatever.
Yeah.
Punk ass troll. So that's it for tonight. We'll recap the NFL draft next week. I'm sure there'll be a lot of bananas trades.
Probably. There always is.
We'll be talking Endgame, hopefully.
Yeah.
Come hell or high water, it'll be seen by both of us.
Yeah.
Brian will be back, and he'll have, like, looked up all the spoilers, like, oh, I know who died, it's okay. Like, you know. I'm sure there might be a trailer or two next week, because there always is.
Yeah.
More NBA playoffs, and of course, we'll be talking about the Battle of Winterfell.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, I'm excited, but
I know.
Dreading at the same time.
I know, me too, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week. Say goodnight, Wes.
Say goodnight, Wes.